The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's a tale of two Americas today, the government and the Democrats. There's an actual government that's functioning, doing its job, signing legislation one day after another, and then there are the Democrats. We have the winner and the losers. We have hysterical, hateful liberal women screaming the most vulgar, imaginable phrases, accusing Trump of being vulgar and then outdoing him with vulgarity on a level you could never imagine except on HBO. Hysterical, hateful liberal women and the real hardworking mothers of America. It's a tale of two Americas, and we're going to talk about that today. Here's a little side note, since it's the week of the women. Remember Valerie Jarrett, the suspicious lady who was behind Obama? Then no one knew who she was until you looked into it and found out she had an Iranian connection. The father was deeply enmeshed in the Muslim Brotherhood, Iranian politics. We knew that she was steering Obama away from Israel, away from America, away from our allies, and towards our worst enemies. Well, she was just rewarded. She was rewarded by signing with the biggest talent agency in Hollywood called Creative Arts Agency. That's right. Valerie Jarrett, none other than Valerie Strange Woman Jarrett, was just signed by CAA. Wait, it gets even better. Who else did they sign? Last week, CAA signed former Senator Barbara Boxer. God knows for what. I haven't any idea what they could use Barbara Boxer for. But that's an example of the Hollywood Democrat complex and how it has ruined the entire world. It has poisoned the minds of hundreds of millions of people around the planet with pornography, with violence, with anti-Americanism, anti-family, anti-God, anti-religion, anti-mother, anti-father, anti-straight, anti-white, anti-male, anti-Christian. That's what it's been doing for a long time now. And they're getting more powerful by the day. They have brainwashed so many women in particular that what I'm about to play for you would have to go down in the annals of people who are totally insane and suicidal, who on the face of it seem to be healthy, normal people. Here is a DNC candidate, Sally Boynton Brown, an Idaho Democrat, who gives a little speech saying at the forum that white people need to shut our mouths and that her job is to shut other white people down. Now, of course, the blacks on the podium with her, with the permanently aggrieved faces, lit up with great smiles when she said that. You know the permanently aggrieved face that some people use? Well, two of them sitting behind her had the permanently aggrieved face. You know the one I'm talking about. But when she said that I'm a white woman and I don't get it, and white people need to shut our mouths and my job is to shut other white people down, suddenly the aggrieved faces became beaming, happy faces. So here's an example of a mad woman. This is an example of how far the brainwashing has gone in the United States of America. This is a woman who wants to run the Democrat National Committee, and I hope she does, by the way. I pray to God she has my vote. I pray that this woman wins and runs the DNC, because she'll do such a great job that in the next election they'll lose by maybe 20 million votes. Even people of color won't vote for Democrats after this. Because any person of color who has a brain and isn't insane understands that anyone who puts down their own race in such a manner is totally unfit for the job. But listen to this woman who, on the face of it, is a good-looking, nice, married woman in clip number one, because you're not going to believe what you're going to hear.
My job is to listen and be a voice. And my job is to shut other white people down when they want to interrupt. My job is to shut other white people down when they want to say, oh, no, I'm not prejudiced. I'm a Democrat. I'm accepting. My job is to make sure that they get that they have privilege. And until we shut our mouths and we listen to those people who don't and we lift our people up so that we all have equity in this country, so that we are all fighting alongside.
Oh, shut up. Just shut up. Go back to your yoga studio, idiot. What do you mean, our people? Here's a white woman saying, my job is to, we listen, we lift our people up. Now she's already channeling someone other than herself. This is insanity. Listen to me carefully. There was a woman like this named Amy Beale, God rest her soul, a young white girl brainwashed by liberal white parents into thinking that the white race was evil. A lifetime of brainwashing their daughter sent her to South Africa to help the poor oppressed South African blacks, so she thought. Well, Amy Beale was riding around in one of those towns or villages with some African friends when a mob came to the car to kill her. And the African friends screamed at the mob, no, 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 don't drag her out of the car. She's one of us. Didn't stop the mob from tearing her out of the car and beating Amy Beale to death with rocks and killing her. That's the beginning of the tragic story. But the rest of the tragic story needs to be told. When Amy Beale's parents went to retrieve her battered body to bring it home to the States to bury it, this is their daughter, they said they understood the mob's rage. Now, you have to understand how deeply ingrained self-hatred is in the mind of the white liberal. You have to understand how suicidal the white liberal is. And once you do, you'll come to understand that it was God's will that Donald Trump won the election. As flawed as he is, as imperfect as he is, as bumptious as he is, as this and that, it was God's will that he won this election. Because I can guarantee you, had he lost, you would not be seeing the issues that we are seeing being signed on a regular basis. Such good things are happening in this country so quickly that it's hard for the left to even follow the bouncing ball. But now I want to play for your listening displeasure the next speech from DNC candidate Sally Boynton Brown, Democrat from Idaho. Listen to this very carefully. Listen to her put down the white people in her own state in clip 3.
Please, 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 this is a conversation I want to have, and I am from Idaho. We are so white. So white, right?
Right.
Like, I have been reaching out and trying to connect to anybody of color that I can find, to be honest.
Wow.
I am not a politician. I
All
am
right,
a human being.
All right, we heard enough of this sick person. Reaching out to anybody of color? What an insult that is. Hello, are you a person of color? Can I reach out to you? Oh, you're a person of color. You must be superior to me. Can I reach out to you? I'm a human being. Actually, I'm not a human being. I'm a white woman. I have privilege. I'm no good. I'm reaching out to you. You're a person of color. Are you anybody of color? Does anyone understand how endemically sick this speech is? Do you have any idea? I know it's freedom of speech. She can say what she wants. But she's crazy. Do you understand what crazy is? This should be entered into the DSM, that's the Psychiatrist's Manual of Mental Disorders. In 06, I wrote a book called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. Well, I was an early diagnostic expert on this issue. And as I watched it, I've seen this disease become even worse. Liberalism is not just a mental disorder. It's a very seriously dangerous mental disorder because it has now become a suicidal mental disorder. And the first rule of psychiatry is to judge whether the patient will hurt themselves or hurt others. By definition, liberals who speak this way are now verging on suicide. It's self-immolation, immolation. They want to spray lighter fluid on themselves verbally and set themselves on fire in front of people of color. And as I said to you, it was embarrassing to watch the two folks who were not white on the stage, who had the aggrieved faces, you know, the permanently aggrieved look. You know the one I'm talking about. Injured, damaged, oppressed face. You know the one that's used to get ahead in this country. And the minute she said that she was no good and she wants to teach white people to shut up, I don't know how it happened so quickly, but the folks of color on the stage went from being, it appeared to me, permanently aggrieved to immediately happy. They had happy clown faces on that I didn't know existed underneath the aggrieved face. They were happy to hear a white woman say that she needs to tell other white people to shut up. Well, we heard a lot of that on stage in Washington over the weekend, didn't we? We heard the failing old piece of jungle fruit rotting on the jungle floor by the name of Madonna. She's like an old piece of guava that you would step around in a rainforest for fear of getting it on your shoe. More vile than you could imagine. And then we heard another creature, Ashley Dudd. She was so disgusting and vile that I would say it bordered on mental illness. We also have for your listening displeasure today many, many other things on topics that you may be interested in. But the main question is this. Why have Democrats become so anti-white? This is what I'd like to know. Did they not just understand that they took a shellacking at the polls because of their anti-white rhetoric? And that's why Hillary lost. They're shocked to find out that white women at the last minute fled to Donald Trump. Why did they do that? Why do you think that 53% of white women voted for Trump? Could it be that they're the 53% of white women who understood that their sons, particularly their sons, were targeted for extinction, and that if Hillary won, they would be made into non-citizens? Do you have any idea what happened in this election? I think you do. 46% of women overall voted for Trump. 53% of white women voted for Trump. Why do you think that happened? They finally awakened to the fact that although he was imperfect, he was their last chance to save their children from this insanity. An insanity that, on a level I've never seen in my lifetime. Now, do you believe that the Democrats have become anti-white? Of course they have. But the question is, why have the Democrats become so exclusively oriented towards minorities? Do I have to spell it out? Here are some other topics. Trump and his people are saying that he actually won the popular vote, that 5 million illegals voted. Guess what? I said it first. Not only did I say it in my last two books, Government Zero, I also said it in Scorched Earth. But I said it after the election. I was the first one to say it on radio. Don't tell me anyone else did. I'm taking credit for my own insights. Yes, millions of illegal aliens voted. Now, what's happening with the media is they're saying, go prove it. Prove to us that illegal aliens voted. You're a liar, Donald Trump or Sean Spicer. Well, I would say to the doubting Thomases and Thomasettes out there, how can we prove it when you have forbidden us to have voter ID in America? You have forbidden us to even know whether the person who is voting is that person, or whether that person belongs in this country legally or illegally. So I would turn it back on you and say, you prove to me that 5 million or 10 million did not vote. You prove to me that they didn't vote. But you can't do that. And you know why? Because you won't let us have what every nation on earth that is sane has, which is voter ID. A few other topics I have to get to before the first break. Did you know what Obama did? He gave away over $221 million in his last hours to the Palestinians against the will of Congress. He is like a bandit who has stolen $250 million to give to his Arab friends, once again showing us that his middle name said it all. I'm Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. And we're going to be talking about that crazy, race-obsessed woman from Idaho, a white woman, married, children, who says that white people need to shut up and listen to people of color. And she was cheered. It was unbelievable to me. And we're going to talk about some of the other major issues in the news, such as Obama stole $221 million as he left office to give to his friends, the Palestinian Arabs. That's $250 million robbed by Obama on his way out the door. We'll talk about that in a minute. But first, I want to tell you about a very important product, about an item that is important to people who want thicker, fuller, and healthier hair. That's right. It's the brand new Provia Super Concentrate from Chamonix. It was created with you in mind. Tiny bottle packs four times the power of Provia's key ingredient for faster, more visible results. Listener Dorothea from Delaware says, I love Provia. I was self-conscious about my hair, then I bought several wigs, forever cleaning hair out of the shower, sink, and off my pillow. She said it's not a problem for her anymore. You see, it revitalizes hair follicles and improves scalp circulation. You're only a phone call or a click away from stronger, fuller, younger-looking hair. Say goodbye to wasting your hair in the brush, in the sink, or on the pillow. Try Provia now, and you will get the new Super Concentrate absolutely free with your order. How? 800-543-5830. 800-543-5830. This new Provia Super Concentrate works, or you get your money back, period, end of story. And you have a limited offer. Write the number. I'm going back to the news. 1-800-543-5830. Did you get it? 800-543-5830, 1-800-543-5830. Andrew, WABC Line 8, you're up on the Savage Nation. Andrew, what's on your mind?
The brainwashing of the girl that you spoke of, what the liberals don't usually tell you is that in South Africa, the black tribes were segregated from one another also, not just the whites from the blacks, which is wrong. But the Hutu and the Tutsi would kill each other, murder each other in the middle of the night, war against each other. So they weren't a benevolent group skipping through the daisies, and then the evil whites came.
I don't. What are you trying to make a comparison between the self-hating, suicidal white liberal and the same mentality in South Africa before the change of power over there? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that this group...
All right, I heard it. So you're saying what? The tribes fought with each other, but that has no comparison to what we're talking about here.
I'm saying she was lied to. She thought it was just the white that segregated...
All right, I don't follow it, to be honest with you. I can't follow your analogy at all. All I know is that it's a mark of... It's a very depressing thing because this stupid woman, this poor sick woman, by the way, this mentally ill woman, Sally Boynton Brown, who wants to run the Democrat Party. First of all, I wish her the best of luck, and I hope she wins. Because if she does win, it's a shoo-in for Trump in number two. It's another 4 years. I will tell you right now, and I thought about this last night, if the election were held again today, write this down because I'm the first one saying it. Nobody in the media said this yet. If the election were held again today, Trump would win by a far wider margin. Because most people who voted against him now like him. Or a good percentage of them, let's put it that way. The brainwashed numbers are never going to change. Okay, the crazy ones are never going to change. But many of the Democrats, the middle-of-the-road Democrats, who gave him a chance, say, you know what, he's not the monster that they made him out to be. I like what he's doing. He's restoring America. He's making America a greater place again. Business is coming back. He'd win by a much bigger margin.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Why are pads and Tampax still taxed? Ooh, that was a brand name. Why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more than protecting the sacred, messy part of my womanhood? Is
Ma?
The bloodstain on my jeans more
Ma?
Embarrassing than the thinning of your hair?
Now, you tell me this woman's not crazy, I would argue with you. This is a woman who belongs in an asylum. She's crazy. But the big question is, here's a woman who gets the podium of 800,000 screaming hysterical females over the weekend, Ashley Mudd, who in the last movie she was in sometime when George Bush wasn't even president yet. And it's a true fact, which I said many years ago, as the, I have to do it in a family-friendly way, it's about gravity and what it does to people's bodies. And the LQ goes up as another Q goes down. And that's as close as I can come to it. I used to have a better formula than that. Anyone who remembers it will probably be laughing hysterically. But as time and gravity catches up with these former starlets, they suddenly find the religion of liberalism to substitute for it. And they make stupid speeches like this. And then she goes into clip 13 with I'm a Nasty Woman. Again, this was on a stage. Listen to this, and then I'm going to ask you a question.
I am a nasty woman. I'm not as nasty as a man who looks like he bathes in Cheeto dust.
What?
A man whose words are a diss track to America. Electoral college-sanctioned hate speech contaminating this national anthem.
And this is love speech? This is love speech. The derangement. The question is this insanity working? Is the leftist narrative being bought? The answer is no, no. No, no. People are not coming home to this message. In fact, I would wager a lot of money right now. I'm not a betting man. I don't go to the track. I don't gamble online, nothing. But my guess is that even leftists or Democrats who watched these sick women spew such horror and vulgarity have finally seen what the Democrat Party has become, and they moved away from the Democrats. And by default, they are probably more likely to be supportive of Trump and the Republicans. They won't say that to you. I will tell you this, the center long ago left these sickos. But we on the conservative right side are confirming everything we knew about them. They are sick, they're vulgar, and they're evil, and they're violent. And so when you hear a woman getting up there, as Sally Boynton Brown said, whites need to shut up and this and that, this is what they're telling your daughter in college. This is what the sick colleges are teaching your children. Is that white people need to shut up? Well, I don't think so. It was a forum for the new Democrat Party, and on the stage was someone from MSNBC, more snotty nonsense by chicks, Keith Ellison, the Muslim apologist, former Labor Secretary and all-around left-wing fanatic Tom Perez, Fox News contributor Jamu Green, whatever. I don't have to read their names because you don't know who they are. But they were all over the top in their hatred of white people. And, of course, they focused not on jobs, not on making America great again, but only on race, because that's what their boss Obama taught them for 8 straight years. And while it worked for the Obamas, who have laughed all the way to the Virgin Islands and to Palm Springs, enjoying all the fruits of their lying labors, it has not worked for the Democrat Party, which lost 1,000 seats. By the way, never forget what I just said to you. It's a well-known fact that over the 8 years of tenure of the con man named Obama, 1,000 positions were lost. They lost Congress. Of course, they lost the presidency, but way down to the state assemblies, 1,000 were voted out. Do you think the people in this country don't hear the messaging of these vulgarians and these haters? They do. And so you keep harping, my friends, on Black Lives Matter. You keep harping on illegal aliens. You keep harping on LGBT. You keep harping on gay marriage. You keep harping on Muslims. Do me a favor. Keep it up. Because what you're doing is alienating more and more people. And that's why Trump won. And as I said earlier, I'll say it again. If the election were held today, millions of people who voted against him would vote for him now. Not only because they've seen that he's actually far more balanced and less demonic than the media would have had them believe, but he's actually doing a damn good job. They love it. See, most Americans actually want the Keystone XL pipeline because it makes good sense. Only the mafia in the green brackets were opposing it. Forget the environmentalist. Listen to me. I'm a conservationist. I've been so all my life. I have my bona fides. I don't need you to approve of my bona fides as a conservationist. But the Keystone XL pipeline did not damage the environment whatsoever. All it did was bring oil from the Alberta tar sands down to refineries in the United States of America. Now, why would anyone want to block that? Because they did not want us to be energy independent. They wanted us to buy more solar panels made in China and feed more billions of dollars to brothers-in-law of sitting U.S. congresswomen whose brothers-in-law are in the solar panel business in Nevada, producing very little wattage for very big money. It's a racket. And so, yeah, the Keystone XL pipeline made sense. Don't give me the Indian stuff about the Dakota thing, because most Indians could care less about the pipeline. What do you mean disturbing their sacred land? What's with the sacred land? Can I ask you a question? Why is every piece of land sacred to a Native American and not sacred to me? How can every piece of land, every scrap of earth is sacred to the Native American? How is that possible? How is that even possible? How could that be possible? That every scrap of land is sacred. No, you can't do here. No, you can't build there. What about a casino over there? Yeah, that's not sacred, man. Yeah, over there, build that casino. That's not sacred land. That's wasteland. That's wasteland. Build that casino. I want that greenbacks. But over there, don't you build that pipeline. That's sacred land. Yeah, you build that casino, but don't build that pipeline. Just let the money come flowing in. Well, you see the game. I see the game. I see the game, and the game is up. Gary on KBOI, Boise, Idaho, line 7. You are up on the big board, the Savage Nation. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Dr. Savage. Pleasure talking to you today. About this woman, I live in Boise, and actually, not to get micro, but I live in ground zero of liberal Boise. It's called the North End. And when I moved up here from Los Angeles in 1992, I was astounded by the amount of white guilt the people up here have. They had a bowl game for college football. They had to name it the Humanitarian Bowl. They had to, they've got a Anne Frank Museum. And I think part of it is the Northern Idaho skinhead Nazi thing gave a lot of Idahoans a guilt complex, and they wanted to out liberals and show everybody that we're not, you know, we're one of you. And have you ever heard the term virtue signaling?
No. So what are they, bending over backwards the other way to show that they're not evil racists? Is that it?
They drive around with bumper stickers around here saying, "Refugees welcome," with the state of Idaho.
Oh, my God. I've seen them in Marin County, California. I would suggest that the libs who want refugees should take them in their own houses.
Of course.
When is the last time you've seen a liberal take a refugee in for lunch?
I want to let you know how they're morally superior to you rednecks who want...
Yeah, I know. I get it. I get the picture right. I get it. Yeah, yep, yep. Superior virtue of the oppressed. You know, when I was 18 years old, I read Bertrand Russell's books. Some of them were hard for me to understand because they were mathematical, but he wrote some great essays, the great philosopher and mathematician Bertrand Russell. I'm sure you know the name, right? You know who he is?
Yes.
Okay, so he wrote an essay entitled, which caught my attention. I was a freshman in college. I was 16, I think. I went to college at 16. So, and he wrote an essay entitled, "The Superior Virtue of the Oppressed." Now, I didn't know that it was sarcastic. It was a sarcastic title. Now, he was a stone-hearted, he was a great man, a genius in all cases, and a socialist, but he also was a brilliant man with regard to insights. He said, "The superior virtue of the oppressed," he was arguing that not all oppressed people have superior virtue just because they're oppressed, is what he was trying to argue, and it caught my attention because I was a young liberal student at the time. And it sort of enlightened me as to what it was all about, but I think what you're saying here is the same thing over there in your town, which is these white people think that all oppressed people of color, well, first of all, that one, all people of color are oppressed, forgetting that we just had a half-black president. We had a black attorney general two in a row who abused the law from the beginning of this administration that just passed. We had abuses of the law by two attorneys general, by the way, one of whom was just rewarded with a big position coming up through the Creative Arts Agency run by the Hollywood Mafia. So, yeah, where is the oppression that they're talking about? Does it exist? Where is this oppression of minorities that they're talking about? Can anyone explain it to me?
No, but I think, again, this woman is emblematic of the self-hatred and the white guilt that these people have. And it's really, you scratch your head because it's just, again, not to be too redundant, but as you keep saying, it's a mental disorder. These people really have some serious...
You know, I'm glad you reverted back to liberalism as a mental disorder, because when you shake your head and say, "I can't understand how anyone could say a thing like that," or "I don't know how they could do a thing like that," "I don't know what she's talking about," "tampons," "what is she, crazy?" You say, wait a minute, Savage once said liberalism is a mental disorder. If you put that into any statement that doesn't make sense or you can't figure it out, suddenly everything comes clear to you, right?
Yes, it does. In fact, I wish you had that psychologist that was on yesterday to maybe explain some of this to us, because...
Wait, what psychologist from yesterday? Which one did I have?
So you had a psychoanalyst that was explaining some things, and...
Was I off the air? I don't remember him. You must have been listening to another show. No, the only thing I did yesterday that I loved the most was I went on to a complete tangent about gluten.
I didn't hear that, I must confess.
Yeah, a lot of people with real celiac disease got very mad at me. They didn't understand I was being sarcastic, not diminishing the severity of true celiac disease. I was trying to make a bigger point, which is that there's a mass hysteria of people who have no celiac disease who are now on the gluten-free binge and don't have to be, basically, is all I was saying. Got it?
Well, maybe this...
I tell you what we're going to do for you, Gary, and everyone else is lucky enough to get on my great show today, which is this. If you can name the new book that's coming out in about a month and a half, you get a free copy. What's its name?
Oh, gosh.
Trump's War. But you got to know the name of the book to get a free copy. And I'm not going to read from it till it's available. You're going to see good stuff. So let's see, what else did we have that we missed on the show yesterday or today? We have some very, very good... Look, radio is about sound. It's about energy. You realize that radio is about energy, the energy of sound? Think about that one. I always sit in the... Sometimes I wonder about it. Sometimes I wonder about it as I sit here in the isolation chamber of my own mind, the solitary confinement of my own thinking. You realize that you're in solitary confinement if you're a person who fundamentally is not that social. You're living in solitary, a permanent solitary confinement. Now, some of us have channeled this solitary confinement into productive activities. Radio is one. This takes me out of my solitary confinement. I write books. That's two. But if you're a loner, you're basically living in solitary, and it can get to you. It can drive you nuts. You can get very sick. You can hurt yourself. So that's a side note. I should go into that. But in the midst of my solitary confinement, I was thinking about all of these topics, and I was wondering about the miracle of voice, the miracle of radio, the miracle of the... Think about this. You're listening to this unknown broadcast of Michael Savage. So you like his voice. The tones are good. It's somewhat soothing when I don't get angry. When I get angry, women turn the show off. They think that I'm a mean Nazi or something like that. And then they get frightened and they revert back to the other status that they've been in, the state that they're living in. But if I don't, go there and I just speak... And I give you my worldview. It's kind of interesting. How are you getting this? How are you receiving this? Well, you're receiving it on a radio through speakers or in headphones. You're either listening on a radio station. It's being broadcast through towers or on iPhones or other Android devices. Do you have any idea how miraculous this actually is? I mean, I'm saying I actually have the wonderment of a child about it all. It's like when I fly in an airplane, I'm a weird guy. I say a prayer. Ask anyone who flies with me. I have a certain prayer I carry with me. I read the prayer. I say, oh, well, God's going to make sure this plane doesn't crash because I'm reading it? Maybe. I pray to him every time that engine revs up on that runway in Oakland, and I feel the thrust of those Rolls-Royce engines, and that plane takes off like a rocket. I do my mumbo-jumbo, and I think the other few people on that plane, when I'm on that plane, they know I'm the religious nut. When I get religious, and it's not all the time. But they kind of like it. It's the same thing with the nation as a whole. You probably are not religious yourself, because most Americans aren't. But they kind of like that there are religious people out there. They like that that guy walking by with the cross actually goes to church with the Bible and actually believes that there is a God. They like that the Jew with the black clothing is reverent on the Sabbath and turns off the lights. They like being reminded there are people who still worship a higher power. It's not them. They don't do it, but they like that they do. It makes them feel part of that thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, I'll tell you more about it when I come back right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
There's 1973. What a great song that was. I'm not going to wax into a nostalgia right now. In the next hour, in addition to all the wonderful topics we're talking about, I'm going to give you a list of Trump's executive orders. They're awesome. You probably don't have the full list. But wait until you see what he's actually done. There's almost nothing that's controversial to the mainstream of America. You have to understand, most of the people who are opposing him are opposing him because it's going to cost them big money. If you're an abortion racketeer, and abortion's going to be cut back, and you can no longer sell baby body parts at the level you're selling them, of course you're going to scream about racism and sexism and homophobia. If you're going to put on a hiring freeze for some federal government workers, of course you're going to scream if you're a federal worker and you don't want the government shrunk.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
We're in trouble deep, my friend. When you see so many white people hating themselves, thinking that people of color are superior to them, that's insanity, by the way, by definition. Now, I have in my hand something that I've not quoted from for maybe 15 years. It's a little red book by Chairman Mao Zedong. I collect books and I read books. I'm a scholar by training.
In this book, quotations from Chairman Mao Zedong, there are many things that are worth talking about. But one phrase, one little couplet from this mass murder of Mao Zedong pops right out of this little red book. And it was written in 1938, the role of the Chinese Communist Party in the National War. And he wrote this, just a simple line. No political party, he wrote, can possibly lead a great revolutionary movement to victory unless it possesses revolutionary theory. Revolutionary theory. Now, this idea of revolutionary theory has been institutionalized in our colleges and schools. And part of the revolutionary theory is that there's a thing called white privilege, and that the associations of white people are all evil, and that people of color are superior and they're all oppressed. So this is revolutionary theory as part of the communist revolution in America. I think that's enough for now on this issue. Now, part of the revolutionary theory is that illegal aliens, meaning non-citizens, should have the same rights as an American citizen, no matter how long this illegal has been here, whether they just swam over the Rio Grande or were brought in by coyotes. Instantly, they should have the privileges and benefits of this great nation. That's part of revolutionary theory that too many white liberals have already accepted as gospel. And so when Trump says that illegal aliens voted, they are now attacking him. Spicer digs in on Trump's illegal voting claim as Ryan distances. That's the headline on Fox News. White House press secretary dug in Tuesday on Trump's claim to congressional leaders that he lost a popular vote to Hillary last November because 3 to 5 million illegals cast ballots. Now, they say they improve it. The reverse is also true. Prove it's not true. In other words, you say to the revolutionaries in the Democrat Party, you have forbidden us to have voter ID. Why have you done that when most sane nations have voter ID laws? You go to Grenada. You go to Caribbean nations. I was in the British Virgin Islands last year. I'll probably go again this spring, maybe in a month or so. You talk to people in these islands, and they say, of course we have voter ID laws. Otherwise, the elections would be a mockery. We wouldn't know who the people are, what island they came from. Why should we, if we live in Trinidad, have someone voting here who lives in Jamaica? Why should we, Jamaicans, have someone from the British Virgin Islands vote in our election? Of course we have voter ID laws. Well, every sane nation on earth understands that. But the revolutionaries, known as Democrats, denied the rights of the states that wanted voter ID laws because they wanted illegals to vote. Make no mistake about it. That was the whole purpose of fighting the voter ID laws. That was Harry Reid's number one battle. Make sure that you knock down all states that had voter ID laws. Now, why is that? Why would Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer at the time, Nancy Pelosi, so desperately cater to illegal aliens, citizens not of this country, people without a country? Why would they cater to them and spit in the face, for example, of law-abiding Americans who lived here for many years and pay taxes? Why would they do that? Because without the illegal aliens in San Francisco, I'll give you a microcosm. In this city, we've had voters voting in, the ballots, rather, are in 6 to 8 languages. Tagalog, English, I think English is the bottom of the list. Arabic, Farsi, Tagalog, you name it. English is at the bottom of the list. You can vote in all these languages. Now, on the face of it, that's insanity. When my motto, Borders, Language, and Culture, was first proposed to this nation in my Paul Revere Society, way back when I first began in radio in the early 1990s, I put out little cards for the PRS, and the motto was Borders, Language, Culture, and I had to explain what I meant by language. And one of the things I said on that card was, all ballots should be only in English, period. You don't read English, you don't write English, you don't vote. If you don't have the ability to read or write in my language, you should not be able to vote in my country. And if you don't want to, if you're lazy, you're too lazy to even learn how to read or write in my language, then you shouldn't have the right to vote, period, end of story. Otherwise, how could you even understand what you're voting for if you don't read or write English? You can't. And so you're used only for one thing, which is to advance the Revolutionary Communist Party, USA, which has now become part and parcel with the Democrat Party of the United States of America today. They are identical in so many ways, it's hard to distinguish between the two. If you were to try to dissect the two from one another, and to dissect out the Revolutionary Communist Party, USA, from the Democrat Party, USA, you'd have a very difficult time making that cut, no matter how sharp your scalpel might be. They have become wed. And again, going back to the microcosm of illegal voting in San Francisco, why would Dianne Feinstein, why would Nancy Pelosi struggle so hard and so continuously for the rights of people to vote in all these languages? Why? How else do you think that they got elected and stay in power? How do you think Governor Brown continues to be the madman that he is and put forth such crazy policies, backbreaking taxes, railroads to nowhere that cost billions of dollars? How does he get away with it? Because of the SEIU, the Service Employees International Union, because of the Teachers Union, because of all the unions who employ illegal aliens primarily, who backed him. That's how they get away with it. There's huge graft and corruption in this great state of ours. And it's all supported on the backs of the illegal aliens who do not pay the taxes, but vote for the rest of us who work to pay those taxes for this graft. And so we come back again to this big election right now. And Trump is saying that between 3 and 5 million illegals cast ballots. I would argue that, no, we can't prove it. Now, you prove to us that you can prove that it wasn't true. And so you turn it back on the Revolutionary Communist Party, USA, known as the Democrats. And they say, well, what do you mean? We shouldn't have to prove it. You're making the statement. No, you're wrong. You're the one who denied us voter ID so we could determine once and for all whether a person is a legitimate voter. So now the burden is upon you to prove that illegals didn't vote, because by definition, anyone could have voted anywhere and any number of times that they wanted. We'd go all the way back to 2000 with the hanging chads. How many women from Brooklyn, how many Larry Davids, mini Larry Davids from the Bronx, who were retired in Boca Raton and Fort Lauderdale and that area, how many of these self-righteous phonies, these so-called lifetime Democrats, voted both in Brooklyn and in Boca? How many? Why don't you try to figure it out? Then you'll understand why things are the way they are. But that's behind us right now. There was voter fraud. We all know it. How can we prove it? I would say to them, you proved that there wasn't voter fraud. Okay, so now let's move on to self-hating whites. That's a big problem. Because it's not just the Sallys, like Sally Boynton. Play her again, clip one, just so they know what we're talking. Here is a woman who wants to run the Democrat National Committee, and she has my vote. I want Sally Boynton Brown, this white girl from Idaho, to run the DNC. She'd do a bang-up job. She'd do a better job than that one from Florida. What was her name? The crazy one. The nut. You looked at that nut from Florida who they threw out. What was her name? Does anyone remember her? Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Remember her, the crazy woman? You looked at her eyes. You saw dementia. Young dementia. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I was a student of psychology for many years. And in the old days, they'd actually have textbooks showing mentally ill people. They don't publish them anymore because today they look like, they're not separated anymore. They look very much like you and I. But in the old days, if you studied textbooks from not too long ago, they had pictures of people who were mentally whacked out. Debbie was in that one. She was like in there. That face was in there, the eyes. I can see bug eyes. You're telling me, let's say you're even a liberal Democrat and you're laughing right now. You think I'm just joking. You know and I know that if you're walking down the street of your city and you see someone with eyes like that, you cross the street. Because you don't know if she's going to pull out a machete and cut you in the face. You don't know if she's going to spray you with something. You know. See, you don't have to agree with me. But you know bug eyes. In other words, what I'm saying to you is, a kid in New York, I was taught by my father, who was streetwise, if someone was a bug, job to avoid them. How did I know what a bug was? A kid doesn't know. So he would hold my hand and walk in the streets, and he'd say, look at that guy over there, watch out for him. That type, he would tell me, that type. That's a bug. And what's a bug? I said, crazy, he would say. They're dangerous. Don't engage them. First rule was, never engage with a bug. So I learned in the streets of New York, and to this day, it's true, by the way, any street, San Francisco, doesn't matter where. They have radar. Crazy people have super radar. You ever notice that? They're on the other side of the street. If you even look at them, they pick that vibe up. They think you're communicating with them. They zap right into your eyes. You can't even look at them.
They'll catch you, man. They'll be right, zigzag right across that street. Come right up to your face. What you looking at? What are you looking at? That's the bug eye. So my father taught me, don't even look at him. You can see him through the corner of your eye. Never give him a direct look. Keep marching. Keep walking. Zugunish, keep walking. Just keep walking. So in other words, even liberals, it doesn't matter. They know what a bug is. They know bug eyes. They know crazy people, and they avoid them as well. So what I'm trying to say to you is the entire Democrat Revolutionary Party has been taken over by bug jobs. In plain English, simple. Bed bugs. They're as nuts as bed people with bed bugs in their bed. They're crazy people. So now we play the speech of a woman who wants to run the party of bed bugs. Listen to this statement. You'll see what I'm talking about, white hatred, self-hatred of whites.
My job is to listen and be a voice. And my job is to shut other white people down when they want to interrupt. My job is to shut other white people down when they want to say, oh no, I'm not prejudiced. I'm a Democrat. I'm accepting. My job is to make sure that they get, that they have privilege. And until we shut our mouths and we listen.
Why don't you begin with yourself, honey? Honey, begin with yourself. You know, I had a friend who went into acting when I was a youngster. He wanted to be an actor. He wound up selling ties in the garment center. Okay, whatever. That's not a joke. Started out wanting to be an actor. He wound up, he went to the Stella Adler School of Acting. Believe it or not, he went in there. I mean, a lot of famous, great people went there. The first thing she did to him was put a size 8 cork in his mouth. He came back from the acting class, and I said, well, what was the first day like? He said, she put a huge cork in my mouth, and she told me, learn how to shut up and sit with the cork in your mouth for the first 3 sessions. He never went back. He was good only for selling ties after that. But what I'm saying is, I think we ought to make up a bunch of corks, big corks, really big corks, for people like Sally Boynton Brown. I think this could catch on if there's an entrepreneur out there. You know, take it and run with it. Make some large corks and come up with a clever statement for it. You know, she said she wants to shut white people down. Here, Sally, start with yourself, honey. I'll be back. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Now, let me explain something to you. The hatred for Donald Trump is not really aimed at Donald Trump, per se, because he hasn't really done anything. For example, they say, oh, vile speech towards women. Well, what she said on that stage was far more vile. So it really wasn't about vile speech. He hasn't done anything. They made him into a hate figure. Why? Now, I have to explain to you from quotations from Chairman Mao what you're living through. Chairman Mao wrote this. He said, if the counter-revolutionary rebellion, he was writing about Hungary, 1956, keywords, counter-revolutionary rebellion, was a case of reactionaries inside a socialist country in league with the imperialists, attempting to achieve their conspiratorial aims by taking advantage of contradictions among the people to foment dissension and stir up disorder. What was he saying? Trump is the symbol of a counter-revolutionary to the communists who have become so ingrained in this country, whether by act or by deed, they don't even know they're communists. These left-wingers who hate themselves are, in essence, good civilians of the communist revolution. So this girl who says, shut down white people, she is a good citizen of the communist revolution. And Trump is a symbol to all of these people of a counter-revolutionary, which is why it has taken on such a profound crescendo of anger and rage towards him from the vermin in the media, from those producing fake news. They are good little soldiers in the march towards complete and total revolution in this nation. It was going on slowly, 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 slowly. They strangled us in the schools. They strangled us on television shows. They strangled us in Hollywood. Everywhere you turn, this revolutionary had been marching and marching and marching and winning and winning and winning. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, there comes this guy who I backed from the get-go because I knew he could win. Well, I figured if anyone could beat her, it would be him. Not that the other candidates on the Republican side were all bad. I never said that.
But I knew he could win if anyone, so I backed him straight up. So he wins. So now what happens? There's a storm going on. He is now the target of the revolutionaries, even those who don't know they're revolutionaries, such as the little white boys in the media, the little white girls in the media. When I say little, I mean mental midgets, the dwarfs. The good-looking dwarfs with pancake makeup on their brains are all little soldiers of revolution without even knowing it. And so they have an almost sick hatred for Donald Trump, based not upon what he's actually done or said, but based upon the fact that he is the symbol that Mao Zedong wrote about of the counter-revolutionary, and he led this counter-revolutionary rebellion amongst the average American worker out there, who they now call, or used to call, reactionaries. We are all deplorables to Hillary Clinton, weren't we? Big mistake, wasn't it? Yeah. But what she meant to say was, we were the not the deplorables, we were the counter-revolutionaries of this worldwide revolution. More on this when I return. I'm glad that you can follow what I'm saying, and I know you are. Trump is a symbol of the counter-revolutionary. Never forget that prime point.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Same songs like a broken machine. Welcome. So look, it's easy to dismiss a man like me if you just started listening. Who's this guy, you know, loudmouth, right-winger? Why should I listen to him? I'm a Democrat. I'm a liberal. But if you actually listen to my words and you check out the books I've written, you know, only 28 books published, only a real PhD and two real master's degrees, you know, well, yeah, maybe the guy knows what he's talking about. I've been studying communism since I'm 18 years old. And I'm trying to show you something that I don't think you've heard in talk radio recently. I don't know that it's appeared or not. I think it's very important. Which is that Trump is a symbol of a counter-revolutionary to the communists who have taken over the government media complex. In plain English. You want one quotable line. It's not Trump that they hate. It's the fact that he represents a counter-revolutionary and he leads a rebellion of reactionaries. These are key. These are really loaded words for those of you who studied the dialectics of communism. And I often don't go into the communist dialectics, which I've studied in great detail, because I've actually read it. I read it since I'm 18 years old. I've read Marx. I've read Engels. I don't read it every day. I read it and forgot about it. But if you are trying to understand the bigger picture of what's going on and why there is such visceral hatred for you, and such visceral hatred for white people coming out of the Democrat Party, such visceral hatred for Donald Trump is a symbol of this, I'm going to recommend that you read my book, Trump's War, which is, no, it's not out yet, but you can pre-order it on Amazon or BNN, because it will be my last political book. After that, it's the God book. That's it. I have a limited desire to write and a limited desire to speak, but I'm trying to explain something to you before I go away from the political world, which is revolutionary theory, and the issue of what we're living through right now. Now, one of the chief architects of this hatred of whites, this embracing of illegal aliens, the extolling the virtues of people of color as though all of them are somehow above any questioning whatsoever. You can't even ask. If a guy comes to puts a gun in your head, rapes your wife, you're not supposed to ask why. Supposed to say that you got what you deserved. I mean, that's what this person's saying. We should shut our mouths and not see or say anything. Why do you think so many retired and current detectives, you know, I had a detective called yesterday, he's retired, living in the Bronx, another one from Florida. I get a lot of retired detectives from New York who listen to this show. And I mean, frankly, detectives, cops love this show. But especially detectives. Because one thing about detectives is that they listen and they learn and they sniff things out. And they never would have survived as a detective for many years in a big city unless they were able to discern BS from the truth. And they learned a long time ago that they know certain things. They don't have to read it. They learn it and they know it. So they hear the same thing in me. They resonate with me. I'm a detective for you of what's actually going on the political stage. So when you see a nice person on MSNBC who looks okay, or on NBC, looks like a nice guy and nice white guy, seems to be reasonable. He isn't. He's a soldier in the Communist Party revolution that's been going on around this world. So when I say vermin in the media, I have hatred for them. Not personally, but collectively, I hate them for what they've almost done to this country. I hate them. I use that word very, very carefully. I don't hate a lot of things. I don't hate a lot of people. I really, really save it. I hate them for what they did to this nation. And so you can fight this battle, as you already did, by voting. You voted. You were part of the counter-revolution without even knowing it. You sensed it. You sensed you were doing something historic in voting for Donald Trump, right? But you were really a reactionary to these liberal, so-called liberals. They're not liberals at all. They were all revolutionaries. They're red diaper dopa babies. They were trained and they were appointed to their jobs by the red diaper dopa babies who run the media. The red diaper dopa babies who make the movies. The red diaper dopa babies who teach in the colleges. The red diaper dopa babies who teach in the universities. The red diaper dopa babies in the newspaper business. They're all revolutionaries in the worldwide socialist communist revolution. Some of them know it. The smarter ones know that. But the not smart ones don't know that they're just useful idiots. Cannon fodder. Cannon fodder in the revolution. Now, the head of the snake is George Soros. One of the chief architects of this worldwide revolution is a single man. You don't realize this. That one man can actually destroy an entire civilization. This man, in my opinion, is it. So he was recently recorded at Davos in Switzerland, where the billionaires and millionaires that MSNBC makes believe they hate all attend. Guy like the Seltzer man, Bernie, whatever his name is, Bernie Sanders, pretends he hates millionaires and billionaires. Larry David, a billionaire, he hates millionaires and billionaires. All of the Democrats, socialist liberals from Hollywood and New York, they hate millionaires and billionaires. But meanwhile, they're all millionaires and billionaires. So George Soros goes to Davos and he gives a very telling speech against Donald Trump. You got to hear some of these sound bites. We don't have a lot of time because I could use 8 hours today for some reason. So right now he says that Trump will fail. This is George Soros, an emigre who escaped the Nazi Holocaust and came here and conducted a sort of financial holocaust on every nation he's ever infested. Him and his family have infested many nations, and they've conducted a financial holocaust upon average people by betting against currencies and destroying the value of those currencies and throwing people out of work, throwing people out of houses. And now this man is a big speaker at Davos, where the elites meet to greet each other and plot retaking the world in their worldwide socialist revolution. And what most of you don't understand is that when I say socialist, you envision poor people marching together for the rights of the poor, but they're not poor. Socialism has always been led by very rich people. Karl Marx came from a wealthy background. Did you know that? He was one of the leaders of the communist revolution, was a very rich boy, like many of these rich, spoiled brats that we see now. And so it's not about the poor, it's about their own power. So here's George Soros, who hates Donald Trump, predicting he will fail. But more particularly, more important, I want you to listen to clip number 20 on the Savage Nation. Please pay attention to this one.
Well, I have described him as an imposter and con man and a would-be dictator. But he's only a would-be dictator because I'm confident that the Constitution and the institutions of America, of the United States, are strong enough. The division of power is in operation, and he would be dictator if he could get away with it, but he won't be able to.
Now, this is George Soros calling our president a dictator, now falling back upon the very constitution he has used to swindle his way to the top of the billionaire pyramid, using our institutions again to swindle his way to the top of the pyramid, getting around every law in the world, just this side of the law. And then he says that Donald Trump is an evil man who would be a dictator. And, of course, the crowd is enjoying their Chardonnay wine and the whatever fish they brought in from the polluted Mediterranean for them to gorge on there. Most of the people who flew to Davos flew on private jets. Most of them flew there, and most of them have phenomenal wealth. And they hate Donald Trump. Why? Think about it. I want you to listen carefully to the next soundbite from one of the most evil men on the planet, in my opinion, George Soros, who I think, frankly, should be made public enemy number one by Donald Trump's administration. I have reason to believe that Soros will, in our lifetime, finally get the just rewards that many of us have prayed for. If we can get Jeff Sessions through Congress, he's being blocked by Chuck Schumer and the other socialist communists. Monsters. They don't want Jeff Sessions in the AG's office because he will go after these evildoers in a way you could never, ever dream of. It will happen. Listen now to the money changer. Again, recorded just a day or so ago. Fresh stuff. From Davos, Switzerland, where the richest people on the earth gathered to plot taking over the world again. Listen.
I personally am convinced that he's going to fail, not because of people like me who would like him to fail, but because the ideas that guide him are inherently self-contradictory. The contradictions are actually...
Play number 21. This is the most important. 21 is the.
It's impossible to predict exactly how Trump is going to act because he hasn't actually thought it through. He didn't expect to win. He was surprised. You know, he was engaged in building his brand and improving it by his success in attracting crowds. It's really only when he got elected
when you have too much self,
he started seriously to think about what he's going to do.
Now, this sick man, this evil man, evil in every way you could imagine, he has tried to undermine our democratic institutions by using the U.S. Constitution and our institutions themselves to undermine them. He has funded 52 of those radical groups that marched on Washington. He gave something like $80 million to that horrible, horrible racist group called Black Lives Matter. This is one of the most dangerous revolutionaries, if not the most dangerous revolutionary on the planet today. He is more dangerous than the Communist Party of China. The head of the Communist Party of China poses less of a direct threat to us than George Soros does, because the Communist Party of China is not, in fact, in the streets of America, agitating crowds to turn on the police, agitating crowds to take on an entire race, because that's how they take over a nation. And so George Soros has a son, enjoys all the benefits of the United States of America, sits up there in his office on Park Avenue, like his daddy did, the mini-me, plotting again to retake the populations of the nations that have stood up to them. England turned on them. America turned on them. France will soon turn on them. Germany, I pray to God, will turn on Angela Merkel while they're still a Germany before it's too late for them to turn. There is a worldwide counter-revolution going on that will restore what they call populism, but is not populism. It is nationalism. It is people who want their own borders, language, and culture enforced. But this Hungarian interloper in our world, George Soros, does not want borders. He does not want a single unifying language. In fact, he was raised by a father who spoke Esperanto in the household. Do you know what Esperanto is? Esperanto was a so-called universal language created by the futuristic, so they thought, world power mad, single government running the world. He was raised on Esperanto. So you understand why he hates Trump and nationalism? All of this is discussed not only on my show, but in Trump's War, which I would invite you to get an advanced copy of so we can move it up to the consciousness of the media. I'll be right back. I'm Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation, and we'll get back to talking about, well, these are amazingly important topics and putting in the context, frankly. But remember, I don't have a show, I don't have a college job where tenure permits me to speak, you know, commercial free. That's not the way it works. And that's why I have ads on this show, and thank God I do. Without it, you wouldn't hear a word of my speaking. And frankly, I have a new advertiser, CT Shirts, which has great career advice, which is dress for the job you want, not for the job you have. It's a great single statement. Because frankly, whether you're dressing for work or dressing to go out, people happen to look at the clothing you wear. It used to be said, a company makes the clothes that make the man. And that's why many people, like myself, wear Charles Tirrett. We all happen to love quality, but until now, your options were really terrible. They were brutal. Either high-quality, ridiculously overpriced shirts, or affordable, you know, out-of-style, horrible shirts that wrinkled the minute you put them on. CT shirts are the best shirts in my closet. They're British-styled, using the softest fabrics. They're the most exquisitely crafted, crease-free shirts I've ever worn. I love them. Tie, no tie, tucked, untucked. You're going to get compliments in a CT shirt. I'm going to give you the deal. It's simple. One CT shirt normally costs $100, but right now you'll get three shirts for $99, period. That's 60% off. And CT shirts come with free delivery, a six-month quality guarantee, and free returns. $99 for three amazing CT shirts. You just go to ctshirts.com/savage. That's it, ctshirts.com/savage. That's ctshirts.com/savage. Period. End of story. WABC John, line 7, what's your comment? Go ahead. We have very little time left.
Yeah, no problem. You hit the nail on the head, as usual, Doctor. Since Trump become president, I've noticed a new esteem in white, middle-class, blue-collar Americans, so much so that it's a little bit scary.
What do you mean? They're standing up for themselves? They're not walking with their heads held down?
No, exactly, man. Their chests are out. They're proud to be Americans.
You know, it's an interesting comment that you're making that no one has made. It's a social observation. I had a friend who went to England last summer, and before Brexit, he said every Brit that was walking around had their head down. They were all wearing dark clothing. It was like a nation in mourning and in hiding. And after Brexit, they said it was like the working man suddenly felt empowered in England. And I think the same phenomenon is going on here in America. I think that's what you're talking about, John, right?
Doctor, can I just give you one other situation that's a little bit scary?
No, because that's a twofer. That would be a two-for-one. I'd love to hear more, but I got to take another caller, and I can't. I can't believe it. I have 51 seconds left in this hour. All right, but there's another hour coming up. And there's one open line at 855-407-2822. And I will continue to elucidate what is going on where the comrades in the media government complex have chosen Donald Trump as the panada to beat up because he is the image of the counter-revolutionary that Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin, Ilyich Lenin, and then, of course, Chairman Mao and the other despots who killed hundreds of millions of people, wrote about and talked about. Donald Trump is their worst nightmare. He is the counter-revolutionary leading in their minds, millions of us reactionaries inside of one socialist nation. Get it? Write it down. I'm Michael Savage. Thank you for listening.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Please, 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 this is a conversation I want to have, and I am from Idaho. We are so white. So white, right? Like, I have been reaching out and trying to connect to anybody of color that I can find, to be honest with you.
All right, so here's the sad, sad story of a young white girl, married, by the way, with children, wants the job to run the DNC, and I vote for her for sure. Getting up in front of an audience there and putting down herself and her white race And, of course, the folks on the stage enjoyed it very much, especially those with permanent grievances engraved on their face. The permanent grievance. Until she said that, then it went from a permanent grievance to like a happy clown. I didn't know what was underneath the surface of the permanent grievance. I don't know how you go from a permanently grieved face to a happy face, but those on the stage loved what they were hearing. She wants to shut people down who are of a certain race. So you say, why am I playing this today? Because the fact of the matter is, the Democrat Party has destroyed itself. You would have thought that by now, the party leaders, and I don't know who they might be, would have figured out that the hysterical, hateful rhetoric of the left destroyed them in the last election and explains why they lost 1,000 positions across America. Never. Let's forget Trump for 1 minute. Put that aside. It's the most important one. But 1,000 political positions were lost under the con man Barack Obama. 1,000. Why? Because of the hateful rhetoric, the racial division, the complete fraud that he was. And so that's why I'm focusing on it today. What the fraud did is a shock. Do you know that that fraudulent crook gave away $221 million to the Palestinians in his last hour as president? Now, I know that you say it's not illegal, but I'm asking you a question. How do you feel about a crooked man like Obama going against Congress and in the last minutes of his regime, before he flew off on one last free flight to go golfing on the West Coast, he had to squeeze out that last trip with the old lady, gives away $220 million of your money to the Palestinians. Now, let's say you think they deserve the money or should get it. Is that the kind of government you want where a gangster, a con man, a gangster like Obama could just write a check for $221 million? How does he get away with it? How does this gangster get away with it? How did he give how many billions of dollars to Iran? Where'd the money come from? Where'd those billions of dollars come from in cash to the Iranians? Was it $150 billion in cash? Where did it come from? Where? So you want to talk about a fraud and a con man? And you want to talk about evil? There it is. Donald Trump's new. He didn't do anything illegal yet. He didn't do anything immoral yet. He didn't do anything crazy yet. No, it was him, the golfer, who did it all. And so we've been talking about the tale of two Americas, the winners and the losers, the hysterical, hateful liberal women the other day in the media. And I'm trying to read to you from this little red book, quotations from Chairman Mao Zedong. Many of you are saying, why? Because it's very important you understand that you are living through years of revolution in America. You may not know it. The riots by the Black Lives Matter, revolution. The riots, revolution. The takeover of the media, revolution. The takeover of the schools to brainwash millions of young people to follow in the footsteps of their antecedents in the communist revolution. That was revolution. All of it's part of the revolution that's been going on. Some of it's been going on quietly and you didn't know it. Some of it's been going on violently and you did kind of know something was wrong when you saw Black Lives Matter marching with their fists in the air screaming about one race being supreme over all other races. You said, wait a minute, that's not right. How can I? You shook your head. Wait a minute. What do you mean Black Lives Matter? And the minute you said White Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, they try to silence you. Didn't they shut you up? Revolution. That's the revolution I'm talking about. So out of nowhere comes Donald Trump, the symbol of the antithesis to the Marxist-Leninist revolution, the symbol of counter-revolution to these communists, and they lost, and they figured, well, no, we can turn this around. The Marxist-Leninists who run the government, who run the media, who run academia, who run the movies, they're sure they could turn it around because they've never, ever paid the consequences for their anti-American behavior. Never. But they're going to. In the next few months and years, you're going to see a complete turnaround in Hollywood. I can guarantee it. I can guarantee you that the movies and the stuff that you're seeing now will not be made anymore. Okay, that's all I want to say on that issue right now. The phone number is, what's the point? We're sold out. I want to go to some callers now on the Savage Nation. Leah on KSFO in San Francisco. Fire away. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael. I just found out about you on Inauguration Day, and I am beside myself that there is someone akin to my thinking. I've been on this since the early 80s with the illegal pandemic. Everyone called me a racist and lived a nightmare 35 years with living in North Lake Tahoe. You'd think never, never would it look like Mexico City. It does. And being literally having the police tell me over and over and for hundreds of times, there is nothing we can do. Our hands are tied because of President Obama. Thank God I have found you, and I'm watch. I wish you were on the weekends. You are so right on everything.
Well, wait. You're living where are you living listening to this show?
I am a native. I was born in Palo Alto. I've lived the last 40 years in North Lake Tahoe, and I'm telling you what, you are.
No, I'm heard up there for many years. Right now, I've been heard up there on KKOH Radio out of Reno, big station. I have a huge following up in that area, and I'm glad you found the show. I can't believe you never heard of me before after 22 years on the radio. It's quite a pleasure.
Oh.
Thanks. It's always nice to have a new listener. You know, one of the hardest things to do in talk radio is to get new listeners. That's everybody wants them because you have an established audience, and they're used to you, and they listen to you. And if you continue to give them what they want, they'll continue to listen to you on a fairly regular basis. But new listeners are very hard to come by, and I'm so glad that person told me she's a new listener. Right now, I want to tell my dog to stop something because he's tearing my couch. Teddy, stop it. The world you just embarrassed yourself, Teddy. He did something naughty. He started to dig. What is with the dogs, with their instincts? I'm doing a show. He's in my studio. There's a nice suede-looking couch. He's got to dig on it to lay down. It's not soft enough. He thinks he's in the bushes. That's all. KSFO, Janelle, line 3. Go ahead. You're on the Savage.
Okay. Yes. Well, I just want to say today has been one of your best shows ever, and we really, really need you now more than ever to continue to keep us all strong during these next 4 years, because I imagine it's going to be a battle.
And it's an ongoing street battle. It's a battle of ideas. It's a battle between the communists and the ordinary American people. The worldwide communist revolution almost had it all. Success was in their hands. They had only a few things left to do to make a new world government with guys like George Soros running the world and the folks at Davos who claim that millionaires and billionaires are evil while they're all millionaires and billionaires. The cadres were all set across the country. They were in the colleges, universities. They were everywhere. And generations have been brainwashed into following the Marxist-Leninist revolutionary doctrines. And most of the followers didn't even know they were following the Communist Manifesto, but I did, because I studied it as a teenager. And I want to thank you for that comment. Let me say this. The woman who just called triggered a thought in my head, which is, a lot of people think it's going to be very hard to be in talk radio now that Trump won and we have no enemy. People are saying, how can I do radio? We don't have Obama to hate anymore. Or how could I? I said, you don't understand something. Obama was the symbol of everything wrong with America. He was the symbol of division. He was the symbol of racism while saying he was an anti-racist. He was a symbol of corruption while saying he was anti-corruption. He was a symbol of everything evil and wrong with the country. Say, so he's gone, so now who are you going to attack? Fundamentally, talk radio is a hard thing to do unless you have an object to detest, to be very honest with you. It's a very hard business. You need a fulcrum, right? So how hard is it to find a fulcrum? When you got people like Sally Boynton Brown, who said her job is to tell white people to shut their mouths, and she wants to run the Democrat Party. Or you have George Soros captured on tape, as I played in the last hour at Davos, amongst the world's richest people, talking about how they're going to undermine Trump and things like. Or you got Women's March organizer Linda Sarsour the other day, a woman who wants to impose Sharia law. Listen to this. This is important. You missed this. You had a woman connected to some of the most vile anti-American, anti-freedom groups in the world. Women's March organizer Linda Sarsour complaining about 22 states opposing Sharia law. Now, do you women know what Sharia law is? Do you know how anti-woman Sharia law is? So here was a woman at the Women's March using the crazy women, Ashley Dudd, Madonna, using these fools to push Sharia law, which enslaves women. I want you to listen to the words of this Linda Sarsour, who spoke, but you haven't heard her clearly. Listen to clip number 16.
We come to the U.S., 22 states with anti-Sharia bills trying to ban us from practicing our faith.
Anti-Sharia bills trying to ban us from practicing our faith. So, did you hear what she just said? anti-Sharia bills trying to ban us from practicing our faith. No, no. It's 22 states that don't want you taking over their state with your medieval laws, your throwback anti-woman, anti-Jewish, anti-Christian, anti-freedom laws. That's what these states are doing, Linda, and you know that. Then she goes on to invent stuff about children being killed. You got to hear this. This was at the Women's March the other day in clip 16. You can play it from the beginning if you want. Go ahead, just play the whole thing.
We come to the U.S., 22 states with anti-Sharia bills trying to ban us from practicing our faith. Mosque oppositions, we're fighting zoning boards across the country. Our kids are hearing this rhetoric. We have people, mosques being vandalized, kids being executed, Islamophobia, leaders on national television saying that, holy wars and these people want to take over America.
Kids being executed? Where are kids being executed other than in our own country, our home country? That's where kids are being executed. Now, not to be outdone would be the ugliest man on the planet. If you were to have a contest of ugly men that God made a mistake with, it would be Michael Moore. In other words, phenotypically, there are ugly people. I mean, don't lie to yourself. Say, oh, how dare you say that? We're not supposed to know this difference. I do. I look at people. Some are pretty. Some are ugly. Some are this. Some are this. Some are good-looking guys. He would win the prize as the ugliest man on the planet. You got to hear clip 17 from the ugliest man on the earth, Michael Moore.
John Leguizamo, a great actor and comedian, Hispanic, and he says, I'm Hispanic, and I always thought racism was our number one problem that we were going to have to deal with, but this election really showed that we've ignored the misogyny and the sexism that is still so prevalent and ingrained in many of the victims, the 46% of women that voted for Trump, and the 53% of white women that voted for Trump. And that says that we've got more work to do, and we'll keep doing it.
So this psychopath says that the women who voted for Trump have ingrained misogyny and sexism in their own psyches, which is why they voted for him. Listen to how sick that statement is. Coming from a man as distorted phenotypically as he is, you ask yourself, what is this man about? You know he's a very wealthy man from the documentaries he has made, and now he's quoting a guy, John Leguizamo, who now goes on my list of shows to click through and never watch again. If I ever see John Leguizamo in a replay, click through it on Comcast. He joins Robert De Niro. He joins Samuel Jackson Jr. He joins Morgan Freeman. He joins a whole host of people who showed themselves to be, let us say, somebody I will never, ever patronize again, whether it be on TV or in a movie theater, ever. He now joins the list. Just remember what power you have out there. I've been boycotted on this show for 22 years by the four agencies that control the entire business, which I'll talk about another time, not right now. I've paid a huge price for my politics. Let me tell you something. Turnabout is fair play.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. The time is short. The ideas are long. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So, I eat during the show because it's during lunch hour for me. I don't mind. So I gobble down a Chinese takeout. So I break open the fortune cookie. I look at them like the horoscope, and take them seriously. You got to hear this fortune. Listen to this one. Remember, 3 months from this date, your lucky star is shining. I don't know. What do I know? So listeners, if you love me, write it down. Today is the 24th of January. It went 2/24. So on 4/24, let's see what happens. What could happen in my life? What do you mean my lucky star is shining? Every day I get up, I thank God that I got up and I feel good. Every day I get up, I thank God the legs, the eyes, the arms, the heart, the lungs, everything works. The family is okay. Things are good. Donald Trump won. The cars are not coming for us. They're not taking us away. The FCC has been put in the hands of a rational man who is not going to close down talk radio. The economy is going to be stronger. The streets are going to be safer. The police are going to be in charge, not the thugs. What do I want from God right now? I don't ask him for anything. Sometimes when I wake up and say, why don't I ask God for something? I don't. I said, no, I've gotten a lot. I don't want any more. That's my prayer. I think that's enough. Thank you. Just, you know, whatever. Thank you. You know, save it for my children. That's all. Don't give it to me. Whatever. Anything. Say, that's childish. I get it. But that's the way I pray. It's like, I don't ask him for anything. If I need, I'll ask. When the time comes, believe me, I'll be there. I'll ask. I've been there before, and I've asked before, and he's answered before. But you don't ask him every minute for something. It's like a child. Mommy could have another quarter. Mommy could have a dime. Mommy could have a dollar. You don't ask God every second for something. You can't say, God, give me something. What are you, like an infant? God gave you a lot of stuff, you know. Thank him for it. Anyway, that's my viewpoint. Didn't mean to get off the topic, but that, to me, is the topic, right? At the end of it all, I truly think that God saved America by electing, by helping put Trump in office. I sincerely mean that. God will be back in this country in a profound manner. The churches will be open again. The people will not be going into churches, hiding their crosses, hiding their Bibles, hiding from the hordes of Christophobes out there, who come in many stripes and many forms and many races and many colors. There's going to be a huge revival of religion in this nation, I can tell you that. Mark it down. Mark it down. There's going to be a revival of religion in America like you cannot believe. That's it. That's what I see. A revival of patriotism, a revival of religion, a revival of family, a revival of life itself. That's what's coming. We're in trouble deep, my friend. When you see so many white people hating themselves, thinking that people of color are superior to them, that's insanity, by the way, by definition. Now, I have in my hand something that I've not quoted from for maybe 15 years. It's a little red book by Chairman Mao Zedong. I collect books and I read books. I'm a scholar by training. In this book, quotations from Chairman Mao Zedong, there are many things that are worth talking about. But one phrase, one little couplet from this mass murder of Mao Zedong pops right out of this little red book. And it was written in 1938, the role of the Chinese Communist Party in the National War. And he wrote this, just a simple line. No political party, he wrote, can possibly lead a great revolutionary movement to victory unless it possesses revolutionary theory. Revolutionary theory. Now, this idea of revolutionary theory has been institutionalized in our colleges and schools. And part of the revolutionary theory is that there's a thing called white privilege, and that the associations of white people are all evil, and that people of color are superior and they're all oppressed. So this is revolutionary theory as part of the communist revolution in America. I think that's enough for now on this issue. Now, part of the revolutionary theory is that illegal aliens, meaning non-citizens, should have the same rights as an American citizen, no matter how long this illegal has been here, whether they just swam over the Rio Grande or were brought in by coyotes. Instantly, they should have the privileges and benefits of this great nation. That's part of revolutionary theory that too many white liberals have already accepted as gospel. And so when Trump says that illegal aliens voted, they are now attacking him. Spicer digs in on Trump's illegal voting claim as Ryan distances. That's the headline on Fox News. White House press secretary dug in Tuesday on Trump's claim to congressional leaders that he lost a popular vote to Hillary last November because 3 to 5 million illegals cast ballots. Now, they say to him, prove it. The reverse is also true. Prove it's not true. In other words, you say to the revolutionaries in the Democrat Party, you have forbidden us to have voter ID. Why have you done that when most sane nations have voter ID laws? You go to Grenada, you go to Caribbean nations. I was in the British Virgin Islands last year. I'll probably go again this spring, maybe in a month or so. You talk to people in these islands and they say, of course we have voter ID laws. Otherwise, the elections would be a mockery. We wouldn't know who the people are, what island they came from. Why should we, if we live in Trinidad, have someone voting here who lives in Jamaica? Why should we Jamaicans have someone from the British Virgin Islands vote in our election? Of course we have voter ID laws. Well, every sane nation on earth understands that. But the revolutionaries, known as Democrats, denied the rights of the states that wanted voter ID laws because they wanted illegals to vote. Make no mistake about it. That was the whole purpose of fighting the voter ID laws. That was Harry Reid's number one battle. Make sure that you knock down all states that had voter ID laws. Now, why is that? Why would Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer at the time, Nancy Pelosi, so desperately cater to illegal aliens, citizens not of this country, people without a country? Why would they cater to them and spit in the face, for example, of law-abiding Americans who lived here for many years and pay taxes? Why would they do that? Because without the illegal aliens in San Francisco, I'll give you a microcosm. In this city, we've had voters voting in, the ballots, rather, are in 6 to 8 languages. Tagalog, English, I think English is the bottom of the list. Arabic, Farsi, Tagalog, you name it. English is at the bottom of the list. You can vote in all these languages. Now, on the face of it, that's insanity. When my motto, Borders, Language, and Culture, was first proposed to this nation in my Paul Revere Society, way back when I first began in radio in the early 1990s, I put out little cards for the PRS. And the motto was Borders, Language, Culture, and I had to explain what I meant by language. And one of the things I said on that card was, all ballots should be only in English, period. You don't read English, you don't write English, you don't vote. If you don't have the ability to read or write in my language, you should not be able to vote in my country. And if you don't want to, if you're lazy, you're too lazy to even learn how to read or write in my language, then you shouldn't have the right to vote, period, end of story. Otherwise, how could you even understand what you're voting for if you don't read or write English? You can't. And so you're used only for one thing, which is to advance the Revolutionary Communist Party, USA, which has now become part and parcel with the Democrat Party of the United States of America today. They are identical in so many ways, it's hard to distinguish between the two. If you were to try to dissect the two from one another, and to dissect out the Revolutionary Communist Party, USA, from the Democrat Party, USA, you'd have a very difficult time making that cut, no matter how sharp your scalpel might be. They have become wed. And again, going back to the microcosm of illegal voting in San Francisco, why would Dianne Feinstein, why would Nancy Pelosi struggle so hard and so continuously for the rights of people to vote in all these languages? Why? How else do you think that they got elected and stay in power? How do you think Governor Brown continues to be the madman that he is and put forth such crazy policies, backbreaking taxes, railroads to nowhere that cost billions of dollars? How does he get away with it? Because of the SEIU, the Service Employees International Union, because of the Teachers Union, because of all the unions who employ illegal aliens primarily, who backed him. That's how they get away with it. There's huge graft and corruption in this great state of ours. And it's all supported on the backs of the illegal aliens who do not pay the taxes, but vote for the rest of us who work to pay those taxes for this graft. And so we come back again to this big election right now. And Trump is saying that between 3 and 5 million illegals cast ballots. I would argue that, no, we can't prove it. Now, you prove to us that you can prove that it wasn't true. And so you turn it back on the Revolutionary Communist Party, USA, known as the Democrats, and they say, well, what do you mean? We shouldn't have to prove it. You're making the statement. No, you're wrong. You're the one who denied us voter ID so we could determine once and for all whether a person is a legitimate voter. So now the burden is upon you to prove that illegals didn't vote, because by definition, anyone could have voted anywhere and any number of times that they wanted. We go all the way back to 2000 with the hanging chads. How many women from Brooklyn, how many Larry Davids, mini Larry Davids from the Bronx, who were retired in Boca Raton and Fort Lauderdale and that area, how many of these self-righteous phonies, these so-called lifetime Democrats, voted both in Brooklyn and in Boca? How many? Why don't you try to figure it out? Then you'll understand why things are the way they are. But that's behind us right now. There was voter fraud. We all know it. How can we prove it? I would say to them, you proved that there wasn't voter fraud. The fact is, it's a clarion call to begin Trump's war is what it comes down to. It is the beginning of Trump's war. And I'm going to talk with you about what Trump's war is and how we, the people who elected him, must remain vigilant and retain our independence. And we're also going to talk about Trump's enemies list. That's right. There's a fantastic list of the enemies of Donald Trump. They're so stupid that they announced themselves. and it is the most comprehensive list of the leftist groups supporting the Disrupt J20 event that was attacking Donald Trump and will be attacking Trump again in the future. These are the anarchists. These are the student morons. These are the left-wing communist bookstores. These are the propaganda distribution outlets. These are the anti-American websites. These are the hacker collectives. These are the shadowy leftist groups that are part of the worldwide radical movement to overthrow the United States of America and steal our freedom. Lee Stranahan on Breitbart, which I'm going to read to you. What they've done conveniently is give Jeff Sessions a pocket list of groups that must be rooted out immediately. Listen to me very carefully. I live by the First Amendment. I live by free speech. I'm in total favor of speech of any kind, to be very honest with you, except speech which calls for violence and speech which tries to take away my freedoms and speech which tries to block the President of the United States illegally. They have named themselves. So what happened today in the speech is the issue. What happened today and what you witnessed today is the issue. This, for me, is a 22-year fight, personally. For 20 years, I've tried to see a dealer. Why? In plain English, no matter what Trump does or doesn't do, he's already saved the nation from the left wing's desire to roll us into a new world order. It just will not happen under him. That's number one. And in his speech, he said some of the things that we did need to hear. What a change after 8 years of I, me. We heard the leader of our nation talking about you and we. From the look on Michelle Obama's face, there was a nightmare of anger and contempt. Anger and contempt on Michelle Obama's face like I have never seen before. And there was Obama sneering, fighting back sneering with his jaw clenching as Donald Trump spoke and took apart his agenda point by point in his speech. There was the idiot Charles Schumer, an embarrassment to Katz's delicatessen. Charles Schumer is not fit to serve corned beef in a delicatessen in Manhattan, let alone to be introducing the vice president. But there was Schumer defiling the stage today by comparing the divisiveness of the Trump presidency to the Civil War itself. All I can say to you in New York, shame on you for voting for that piece of work. But remember this, and here's the good news. They lost. They lost, and they're doing nothing but showing their bitterness and their loss. They're trying to rile up the mobs in the streets of losers and miscreants who cannot believe that they can no longer continue to run roughshod over the American people. The vermin in the gutters who hate that they heard words about being proud of America. The filth from America and the world rioting in the streets, breaking windows, setting things on fire as they heard the Bible quoted and God mentioned so many times, I thought that they would commit suicide. The speech Trump gave was one we have not heard in so many years from the leader of this nation. He spoke about the love we all share for this country, the greatness it once held, and the greatness he hopes it will one day hold again. You heard positive statements about America that you have not heard in 8 years. And you heard talk of unity and a coming together for all Americans. And moreover, you heard a lot about God. You haven't heard about God in the 8 years that the golfer phony snake was in power. The golfer phony snake didn't believe in God. We all knew that. We knew he was an atheist, socialist, communist. We heard how God has blessed this nation and how we will look to God again to guide us in our new president. It was phenomenal to learn that we have a president who actually believes these things and speaks about them. Now, many of you complain about me and about talk radio by saying that we exaggerate and that we omit. Well, let me read something to you. It's a one-liner. There was an author from many, many years ago named Bagehot, B-A-G-E-H-O-T. He wrote a single sentence on this issue, and he said this. He said, to illustrate a principle, you must exaggerate much and you must omit much. Did you hear what I just said to you? That's what I do on radio. It doesn't mean I distort much. It doesn't mean that I lie. It means that I know how to illustrate principles. And my three principles have been and continue to be and will continue to be during the next 8 years, borders, language, culture. Did you hear? That's what it's going to be. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. I've got good news for you. I told you in the last 2 hours or an hour or two ago that by my observation, which I think is accurate, I wouldn't say it, if the election were held again today, Trump would win by a greater margin. Now, that was intuitive. A new poll came out, the Rasmussen Reports, which said that the presidential tracking poll for Tuesday shows that 57% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's job performance. 57%. It shot right up. That gives him a presidential approval index rating of plus 9. 38% of voters think the country is heading in the right direction. The highest level of confidence in 4 years. So things have changed. A lot of people were buying the lies put out by the revolutionary left that he was everything under the sun that they ever hated. They demonized him, and they were afraid of him. Now voters are saying, hey, you know, he's not so bad. We're not that happy with NAFTA. I hope he gets rid of it. We think the Keystone XL pipeline is a great idea. He's pleasing me. Most of what he's doing and what he's saying, I've written about for many years, whether it's Scorched Earth, which is still in the bookstores, or the book before that, Government Zero, or things that I tell you on this radio show on a daily basis, 5 days a week, except the days that I take off. They're my ideas. Borders, language, culture are the core of these ideas. So I'm very happy right now. I had no idea. I knew that the left hated me. And then they dismissed me, which is the worst thing they can do to a person in the media, which is what they did to me for 20 years, is marginalize you by... It's what they did in the Soviet Union to people whose ideas they didn't like. They made believe you didn't exist. That's what's done to me by the newspapers and by the television shows. They make believe I don't exist. But explain this to me, please. How could I not exist if I have millions of listeners, 250-60 stations, biggest in the country, one bestseller after another? How could I not exist? So it's they who don't exist. They don't exist. You understand what I just said to you, how important that is? They have power, but they don't exist in your sphere because you know that they're fake news. You know, for example, that the San Francisco newspaper is a fake news outlet. You know it's a wholly owned subsidiary of the Democrat, Socialist, illegal immigrant bloc that runs and ruins this state. Everyone who lives in the Bay Area dismisses the San Francisco Chronicle. They used to call it the comical. It's no longer the comical, it's below that. They denigrate anyone who supports patriotism, they denigrate anyone who supports nationalism, and they demonized me for many years, and yet I prevail. How is it that the newspaper that thinks they have so much power, who ignores me, how could I have best-selling books in this Bay Area? If you go into Barnes & Noble, they're sold out when my books come out. What I'm trying to say to you is these newspaper outlets, these fake news outlets, whatever they may be, they're the ones who are going to be in the trash can of history, not me. My ideas are being enacted by the President of the United States of America. Borders, language, culture. Good night.